Children, at this time, our children's leaders are back in the back, and so if you have a child, you can now go to children's church at this time. And if you're not a child, just stay right here. Thank the Lord for our children's workers and for Sister Summa over the last few months of just really pouring. Many of you have volunteered. Thank you for caring for our children. Lots of children in this part of the world, and people care very deeply about their children, so we also need to care about people's children through Jesus Christ. So may God bless our children's ministry. Let's pray together. Almighty God, incline our hearts now to your testimonies, not to selfish gain. Turn our eyes now from looking at worthless things, but give us life in your ways. Open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things in your law. Guide us in your truth now and teach us, and grant that we would be doers of your word and not hearers only. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, as we look at this passage in the book of Mark, we will, in some ways, every now and then, I'll do a message on basic church question, and today could be one of those. And the question would be, "What is fasting? What is fasting?" So I'm not titling it a basic church question, but today our hope is that we will answer that question: that what is fasting according to the Scripture? Almost all religions practice fasting of some kind. Muslims fast during Ramadan in the daytime, and then other days as well. Mahatma Gandhi fasted for political reasons. People fast when they are sad, when they're in mourning. Buddhists fast. Hindus fast. Monks, lamas of all different kinds of religions fast. People fast for health reasons. Some are very popular today to fast from food and simply drink fruit smoothies for your health. Well, is fasting Christian? Is it something that is Christian? Is it something that's biblical? It's been quite common in church history throughout the ages for people to fast. Maybe it's not that common now, today. In fact, I would say that most people that I know, maybe including myself, would be at one of two ends of the spectrum, one or two extremes. Either never fast, ever. It's just something you never, ever do. Or it seems like a lot of the fasting that goes on today is kind of a self-righteous, unbiblical fasting. And I'll explain why in a little bit. More about that later. Well, what do we mean when we say fasting? Most of you know, a Webster's dictionary. A dictionary would say that fasting is abstaining, not eating food, or doing without something else for a special or mostly a religious reason. So most fasting is simply not eating food for some kind of religious reason. Well, is fasting in the Bible? You know, Jesus fasted for 40 days when he was being tempted by Satan in the wilderness. So at the beginning of his ministry, let that be something that you take to heart. At the beginning of his ministry, it was important enough for God Almighty in the flesh to fast for 40 days. Acts chapter 13, they gather together in Antioch. And they prayed and they fasted. And when they did, God started the missionary movement. In Ezra chapter 8, people fasted to avert danger or threats. There was danger happening, threats coming, and so the people fasted. 2 Samuel, 1 Chronicles, people fasted to express sorrow or loss. Quite common when someone would die to fast. Common for when you needed to repent. What would you do? You would cover yourself in sackcloth and ashes and fast. Joel chapter 2 would be where people fasted to repent and grieve. So fasting is all over the Bible. It's all over church history. Let's look in Mark chapter 2 if you have your Bible, or you can look on the screen. Mark chapter 2. I want to read this again. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and people came and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the patch tears away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is destroyed, and so are the skins. But new wine is for fresh wineskins." You remember the structure from last week? You remember last week there was a structure that we talked about. Jesus does something controversial, and then people have a question. The Pharisees, or the scribes of the Pharisees, have a question for Jesus, and then Jesus has a response. We see the same thing today. What was it that Jesus did that was controversial? Well, his disciples weren't fasting. John's disciples were. His disciples were not. Pharisees' disciples were. So the question comes, why Jesus' disciples are not doing this? The Day of Atonement would have been a day where everyone was supposed to fast. Probably this was not the Day of Atonement. Probably it was just some other day that they were fasting. Maybe another festival of some kind. Jesus' disciples were not fasting. They were feasting. You remember last week, they were eating with tax collectors and sinners. They had a big feast in Matthew or Levi's home. So they were eating a lot. Jesus was accused of being a glutton. Lots of feasting, not fasting. John's disciples would have been following John. You remember John? He was an ascetic. He was a hermit. Long hair that had never been cut. He wore animal skins. He lived a very simple life. He ate grasshoppers dipped in honey. And what was his message? John's message was, the kingdom of God is going to come. We are waiting for the Messiah, and he is going to judge the world. So John's disciples would have been fasting, looking to the Messiah's coming. Jesus' disciples did not need to fast for that. Why? Because the Messiah was already there. The Messiah had come. The kingdom had come. There was absolutely no need for them to fast for the kingdom of the Messiah to come, because it was already here. What about the fasting of the Pharisees? What kind of fasting was the Pharisees doing? If you know anything about the Pharisees, you know that the Pharisees, they did everything to impress people. They would fast on Mondays and Thursdays, and they would make themselves look really pitiful. They would wear older clothes, and they would make themselves look really grimy and gloomy, and they would walk around basically announcing to everyone, "I'm fasting, I'm fasting." You remember in Matthew chapter 6, what did Jesus say about that? What did Jesus say about fasting to be seen by people? He said, if you fast to be seen by people, then you have your reward. You'll get the applause of people, but you won't get the applause of God. So the Pharisees were trying to impress God, and they were trying to impress men. Well, Jesus' disciples had no reason to try to fast to impress God or men. They didn't need to fast to try to get close to God, because God was standing right in front of them. No reason to do that at all. Both of these types of fasting by John's disciples and by the Pharisees are inappropriate for the time. They're inappropriate for the setting of the Messiah coming and the kingdom of God coming. No reason to fast for the Messiah's coming, and no reason to fast to try to get close to God or try to impress God, because He's already there. The Pharisees and John's disciples should have been feasting in celebration, not fasting, waiting for the kingdom of God or to impress God. It was simply inappropriate for them to do that. So Jesus gives us three illustrations to show three things that are inappropriate. Number one, Jesus tells us it's inappropriate to fast at a wedding. Just as it would be inappropriate to start your 40-day fast at the beginning of Chinese New Year. Can you imagine? Chinese New Year is a time of celebration. It's a time of being with family, just like you wouldn't start your fast the week of Christmas. It's a time of what? Feasting. Does anybody ever start their fast during Thanksgiving in America? No, because it's a time of feasting. It's a time of celebration. It's simply inappropriate to fast at this time. The second illustration that Jesus gives us is He says it's inappropriate. It's not right or smart to put an unshrunk cloth on an old garment, because when it shrinks further, it will simply tear away at the garment, and then you'll have a bigger tear. And then Jesus gives a third illustration, and He says you don't put new wine into old wineskins. Why? Because new wine will ferment. If you pour it into an old wineskin that's already been stretched and you fill it up, when it ferments with carbon dioxide, it will stretch even more, and what will happen? It'll bust or burst the wineskin. So Jesus simply gives us three things that are inappropriate. And He's telling us something about the true nature of fasting. Can the wedding guests, listen to what Jesus says in verse 19. Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? Notice what Jesus says. As long as they have the bridegroom, they cannot fast. But when the bridegroom is gone, then they will fast on that day. A Jewish wedding, by the way, was a one-week affair. It wasn't like an American wedding where it's like 45 minutes in and out. Do you? Yes, I do. Do you? You do. I now pronounce you man and wife. See you later. It was a one-week affair. It was a big deal. It lasted a long time. It was such a big deal that people feasted for a week. It was the happiest times of their lives. Well, the bridegroom has come. This is a wedding, Jesus says. In the Old Testament, the bridegroom is God. In the Old Testament, God is the one who is the bridegroom. In Isaiah 62, in Ezekiel 16, in Hosea 2, in all of those, God gives a picture and says that God is the bridegroom and the people of Israel are the bride. Does it sound familiar? Jesus also says he is the bridegroom and the church is the bride. John the Baptist, remember, he said, I am just the best man standing here, and Jesus is the bridegroom. So, when Jesus says he is the bridegroom, he's making a claim, a startling claim, that they would have known that he is God Almighty. When God Almighty is with you, feasting, it's not a time for fasting. So it's inappropriate to fast at a wedding. It's inappropriate to put a new patch on an old garment. And it's inappropriate to put new wine into old wineskins. Plain and simple, what is fasting? Fasting is forgetting more of the bridegroom. Fasting is forgetting more of Jesus. Fasting, doing without food, is saying, more than my soul wants food, or more than my soul wants the internet, more than my soul wants TV, or more than my soul wants sports, or anything else, my soul wants and needs you, God. Does that make sense? More than I hunger for TV or food or anything, I hunger for God. So you do without food so that you can have more time to spend with God Almighty. What is appropriate fasting? What is appropriate fasting? Fasting is the exclamation point at the end of the prayer, God, I need you more than anything. Fasting. God, I need you more than anything. So, you do without food so that you have that time that you would spend eating to spend with God. Now, why do I make that point so strongly? Fasting is doing without something that has a hold on you. Instead of doing without that, you spend time in prayer and God's Word. Now, why do I say that? Because in my own life, and what I see in a lot of people that I know who talk about fasting, it seems that fasting can easily become a way to impress God. So I'm going to starve myself for a few days, and God will be so impressed with this discipline, or God will be so impressed with my ability to do this, that He will give me what I want. 3 days of fasting minus any prayer or Bible reading or seeking after God equals what? Just starving yourself. You're just simply not eating. Romans 11 says, who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? But from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. So God is not impressed. You realize God does not need us to do anything to impress him. God is not obligated, if I decide to not eat tomorrow, to give me what I want. Matthew chapter 6, as I mentioned, said it's between you and God, and you're not supposed to tell other people. So fasting is spending extra time with God to seek after him, for him, and for him to answer prayer. Most people today would see fasting as, I'm going to do without desserts, I'm going to do without sweets, or Coke, or internet, or Dong Nai Cha, and God will be impressed and give me what I want. That's a difficult one for me. This, brothers and sisters, let me say, in love, let me say, that's just religious practice if we do without things but don't seek after God. Some quotes on fasting. I took from different books that I read some quotes on fasting. We cover up what is inside of us with food and other things. You realize we do that, right? We smother our pain with food. Or we smother our pain with just, I'm going to watch this TV show right now because I feel bad and I just want to spend these 2 hours just numbing my mind and watching something. So we cover up what's on the inside of us with food and other things. So that's why we fast, to break the hold that it has on us. Fasting is a way of revealing to ourselves and confessing to our God what is in our hearts. Where do we find our deepest satisfaction? In God or in His gifts? Food is great, right? Internet is good. TV, there's nothing wrong with TV per se. So it's choosing the gifts of God over God that's dangerous for us. Christian fasting is not only the spontaneous effect of a superior satisfaction in God, but it is also a chosen weapon against every force in the world that would take that satisfaction away. Fasting reveals the measure of food's mastery over us, or television, or computers, or whatever we submit to again and again, to conceal the weakness of our hunger for God. And lastly, the depth of the struggle, read this carefully, the depth of the struggle in fasting reveals the depth of the love of that thing. You understand what that means? That means if you can't go without the internet for one day, it shows how powerful of a hold it has on you. So, for example, a man feels no pain at all in fasting from vegetables because he has no love for them. Right? So if you ask me to fast from broccoli, would that be difficult for me? I will fast from it for the rest of my life with no difficulty. But ask me to fast from my iPhone for a few days, and it proves what I love. You understand? It proves what I love. I don't love vegetables, but I love other things. You understand? Fasting reveals what we love when we try to do without it, because that internal struggle is there and we feel the pain of, shut off Facebook, shut off WeChat, difficult. Or shut off food. What about some things to fast for in closing? What about some things that we can fast for? Reasons to fast. Well, the number one reason is to get more of Jesus. So if you feel like this morning, if you feel like, you know, I'm just not as close to God as I want to be. Well, how bad do you want to be close to God? How bad do you want that? Well, do without food, or do without internet, or do without TV, and spend that time with God. What about fasting for others to be saved? Do without some food, or do without internet or TV, and spend that time praying for your family, neighbors, co-workers, or friends. How bad do we want them to be saved? Bad enough to go without something and spend that time in prayer? What about for the ministries of our church? What about for God to do something in the ministries of our church? Children's ministry, worship. God, make this place a just red hot with worship. What about fasting for God to do things? What about MSF? Saying, God, we want you to do something in MSF. Give us souls. Give us souls for the kingdom from this university. Will we fast for that and pray? How bad do we want it? What about for discernment or wisdom? Some of you need discernment. You need wisdom. In your job, in your education, in your pathway. God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What's the answer, God? Well, how bad do you want that answer? Fast. What about for God to send out missionaries? Acts chapter 13. Oh, that we would be a church that would pray and fast. God, decrease our numbers. Decrease our numbers. Send people out from here. Fasting is for getting more of Jesus. You need more today? Fast. Maybe today you say, I don't know Him. I'm not sure if I know Him. I'm not sure if I know the bridegroom. I'm not sure if I will be at that wedding feast as a wedding guest. Today I'd love to talk to you about that. Pray with you how you can know Jesus. Christian brothers and sisters, do without a meal. Do without the internet. Do without some TV. And don't post it on Facebook that you're fasting. Starve yourself from those things. Listen carefully, I'll close. Starve yourself. Cut off the supply line from those things that may be choking out the Word of God in your life. Starve yourself from those things and feed on Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I confess to you that my hunger for you is not enough. How easy it is, O Lord, to be satisfied with other things. Pray that you would break the power and the hold that things have on us, choking us through prayer and fasting. Let us be like the psalmist who said, "Satisfy me in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." Thank you that Jesus said, "He who comes to me shall never thirst, shall never hunger." Lord, you are indeed, when we are filled up with you, we find ourselves all the more hungry. I pray that you would encourage our body today by your Spirit, with every single person in the way that you need to. Encourage the discouraged this morning, Lord. Give strength to the faint-hearted. Humble the prideful. Give strength to the weak. Give motivation to the slothful. Give us grace to obey you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with us as we sing in prayer?